people connect, families grow, lives exchange. People connect, families grow, lives exchange.
You know, today I have with me my son Austin, and he is a preaching maniac. Preaches all the time at our students and here and so on. And yesterday we were talking about the subject of prayer together, and I'm like, Austin, you got to preach with me today. And so far, so good. He's killing it. People are loving it. He is a preaching machine. And before he gets started, actually, when he was seven and Nicole and I got together, he didn't know if I was a priest or a preacher. So he was seven. He had his big people teeth, his little people teeth, and he said, I want to be a priester. So that's pretty good. If you're Catholic today, you're in good hands. You have a priester in the scene. So give it up for Austin. He's doing a great, great job. In Luke 6, verse 5, it says, also, when you pray, not if you pray, shout with me, when you pray.
When you pray.
One more time. Why? When you pray. It says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues at the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by everybody. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Verse 6, but when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. Verse 7, and when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. Prayer is simply a conversation with you and God. You know, we see the late night talk shows, and you're always seeing a monologue, right? That's where the guy talks to you, but you don't talk back. God's not into the monologue thing. He's into the dialogue thing. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger will not follow. God will speak to you. He expects you to speak to him, and then direction comes and correction comes. And yesterday, we were on the porch talking, and Austin was sharing just this story about the meeting place, and I wanted him to kind of drill down on that a little bit, what you were sharing with me yesterday.
Yeah, the meeting place. You know, I think everyone goes through a time in their life where they really experience what is prayer. You know, so many people don't know exactly what prayer is, but I had an area in my life when I was coming out of college, and maybe you remember that place, or maybe you're in college right now and you're experiencing that a little bit. But right here on the front row, where Mr. Arden or Pastor Arden and Pastor Susie are sitting, I experienced something that would take me 4 hours to explain that happened in about 10 minutes. You know, when it happened, I came away from it, and automatically I thought, okay, either I'm crazy, or I just had a moment with God, and it was the first time it really ever happened. So I was thinking about it, and I said, well, in the Bible, it says that a wise person seeks counsel. So I went to my parents. You know, I went to Pastor David and Pastor Nicole, and I said, okay, guys, you're going to think I'm crazy, but this is what happened. And they were like, wow, God met with you. Tell us more. And I kept continuing to tell them, you know, what it was. And that area right there became my meeting place with God. You know, for weeks upon weeks after that first meeting, I felt like God kept telling me, pushing me, Austin, go to the front row. Be there. Be closer to the worship. Be closer to the word so that I can speak to you. You know, in the Bible, it talks about God's presence. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere around us. He's always there. You know, if you know in the word, it also says that he's the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. So he always knows where we're at, and he's continuing to write our story. You know, but what happened to me right there was a life change. You know, I was in a relationship that it had been going for a while. I'd been in it for about 3 years, which everybody knows. Once you've been in a relationship for a while, people start asking questions. To me, it made me kind of nervous because they're like, you know, this is the question. Are you getting married? When's the date? Like, whoa, we're not even engaged. Like, you know, let's slow this down. I don't know. I don't know if this is God. And then it made me think, wow, is this God? Is this really what God has for me? Because I don't know if it is. And Pastor says stuff like this. He says, you know, if you have to feel like you need to seek counsel or get counseling before you're married, it's probably not the right relationship.
Just and saying.
I thought, my God, the Bible's right. He is wise. Wise counsel. So I took his advice. But what I also did is I continued to go to that front row, that meeting place with God, and God continued to speak with me. And God continued to lead me because that relationship, if I would have stayed in it, she was a great girl. But how many know, you've probably seen my fiance running around here. God always, it's never for less. It's always for more.
Somebody ought to say amen to that right now.
You know, I broke that relationship off. It was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life. But Morgan is a true blessing to me. But I want to go back. I want you to go with me for a second. And if the camera guys come with me. But I called Pastor David on the phone and I said, PD. You know, I call him that sometimes, stands for Pastor David. Don't think it's like for P. Diddy. Sometimes he always says that it's, you know, my mom likes to call him Big Daddy. I'm not calling him Big Daddy today, so let's get that out of the way. So I call him and I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, at that time in my life, I thought, this is going to flip my whole world upside down. I don't know where I'm at, so I call him and I'm crying. And next thing I know, I'm in a Home Depot parking lot. I don't know why I was in Home Depot, but Lord, thank you for Home Depot, because it's a great place. But I found myself, next thing I know, he's talking to me, he's like, you need to come home. I said, well, I am home. He said, where are you? I said, I'm laying on the parking lot or the driveway at the house. He's like, what? The parking lot or the driveway? He said, I'm coming out. So he comes out, he lays next to me. He said, tell me about it. Talk with me. You know, I think we've all been there in a place where it's hurt. It's tough. It's hard. We're not sure exactly what's happening. You know, but I love in the scripture, it says in Isaiah 55:6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, the one thing I forgot is God's so close to me on the front row, yet when he asked me to take one foot forward, even though it flipped a lot of what I thought flipping my world upside down, it actually flipped my world in a 360 and brought me a beautiful woman such as Morgan in my life who comes up on the stage. You see her on the screens. Never for less, always for more. God blessed me with a woman of God and saved me from so much heartache. You know, I believe he's wanting to do that for us today. You know, maybe you're in a situation where you don't know where it's headed. Maybe you're wondering, well, do I have a meeting place? What is that meeting place? You know, I want to encourage you to get one. Maybe it's on the front row. Maybe it's where you're sitting today. Maybe it's being more consistent with coming into church. Because when we take one step towards God, he takes 1,000 steps towards us. But with my story, it's never for less, always for more. Was I missing God? Was I going to miss God if I wasn't on the front row? Maybe. But you know this, that because of my obedience, my commitment to say, God, you know, I feel like you're speaking to me. This is your word. I'm going to be there. God bless me. And I believe he wants to do the same with us.
You know, really what it is, again, with that correction God gave him brought direction. And he couldn't see Morgan in his future. All he could see is, oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, I'm going through hell. How am I going to make it? And God doesn't always reveal to you the end of this situation, but he does through his word. And he said, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. He loves everything about Morgan. In fact, there wasn't one of those things where it's like 3 years later, hey, are you guys going to get married? No, day three, he's like, before he... I think it was day three, because they went out on a Friday. About 3 days later, he goes, I met her. That's the girl I'm going to marry. I go, the girl that I just met 2 days ago? He said, yeah, that's her. And I'm like, God, I hope he's hearing from God. And then time passed, and I'm like, oh, man, you're marrying her. I'm going to kill you, boy. This is the will of God for your life. But God doesn't always show you immediately the end. He wants you to trust him. And then that direction and correction comes. And in fact, in the Lord's Prayer, remember that? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some people pray that. And they pray it just for recital. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our debts, we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom of glory and power forever. Amen. You might as well say Humpty Dumpty. Sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. That is a guideline to prayer. And it's a powerful prayer. But it's not a ritualistic thing. God's saying, look, here's just the guidelines. Just talk to me. Worship me. Praise me. And then Matthew 6 on the Lord's Prayer, verse 10, check this out. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The will of God is primarily found through seeking God. For some reason, and I commend you, for some reason, you showed up at church today. You said, God, I'm putting you first. You're watching online. God, I'm putting you first. God begins to speak to you, and he does it through this still small voice. And then the direction comes. Like Austin was saying a while ago, when he came home that night and he said, hey, it's going to take me about 4 hours to tell you what God told me in 10 minutes. And he expected me to go, oh, that's weird. And I go, you've heard from God. Because that's the way God speaks. And you know it as well. How many of you like me and you've heard something and you're like, wow, I have all this epiphany, all this information, and I'm going to try to explain it to you, but I don't even have words for it. Can I see your hand? I just out of curiosity. Yeah, pretty much. Because God speaks to you. That's the way he speaks. He speaks through revelation, and then you try to articulate it with your limited language and with your mind, and you're trying to say what you know. I'm saying go with that gut. The world calls it blink. Go with that blink. What's your gut telling you? God is speaking to you, and he gives you that daily bread and that provision. And then that keeps you from, as Austin was saying a minute ago, it keeps you from the hell and the heartache. 50% of all marriages end in a divorce. And part of the reason is because we kind of fumble through life at datamate.com, and that's nice, but that might not be God's answer for you. He might just drop it into your lap. Everybody shout, drop it into your lap.
Drop it in your lap.
Me and Austin kind of have a competition on how many podcasts we can listen to. I try to beat him. He tries to beat me. Work out together, pray together, work together. And yesterday, we were both listening to the same podcast. He said, hey, Papa, did you hear that podcast? He thought he had one on me. And I go, yep, I got it. And I kind of cheated because Nicole was listening to it, and I overheard it. But the beauty of this sermon, Austin, is, and we're talking about it, is this Joel is preaching, and this little girl, true story, she's about six, she wanted a cat, a little kitten. She goes to Mom and Dad and says, hey, I want a kitten. They said, we're not going to get you a kitten. She said, well, can I pray and ask God to give me a kitten? They said, yeah, if God gives you a kitten, then you can have it. She immediately, not later, immediately goes to the back, goes on her knees in the backyard. Mama's looking at her, and she prays, God, give me a cat. The mom's looking. True story. A cat drops out of heaven. Punk! Right there. Little girl goes, oh, thank you, God, for my cat. She said, what in the world happened? So she starts asking questions, and two doors up, in true Jefferson County fashion, some guy was trying to get a kitten out of the tree because the wife was upset that it was in the tree and it stuck in the tree. So he takes a rope. He can't reach it. So he ties it to this sapling of a tree, and he hooks it to his car, and he begins to pull it back so they could get it. About that time, the rope breaks. The cat flies into the backyard and lands in front of the kid. Can somebody freak out over that? You talk about a good experience in prayer. I mean, this little girl from then on is like, you know, God, give me a husband. There he is. God's got his ways of doing that. He'll drop it in your lap, but you have not because you ask not. You got to talk to God and stop letting condemnation keep you from thinking he doesn't want to hear from you. He does.
And I think a lot of that starts with commitment and obedience to God, because sometimes he's just looking for us to stay consistent. Sometimes so many of us, you know, myself included, is I can so many times, I'm kind of ADD, so sometimes I'll start things and then all of a sudden I'm like the dog, whoa, squirrel, I'm way over here all of a sudden. Sometimes that's the way I am, and I think we can be like that with our prayer. But sometimes God's asking, you know, and a colleague of mine actually says this, he spends the first 15 minutes of his day with God. That way there's nothing during the day that it can set him off track and all of a sudden those 15 minutes turn away to I'll do it tomorrow. No, the first 15 minutes, he sets his alarm 30 minutes early. He gets up, 15 minutes with God. And Pastor always says this. He says, there's strength in prayer, not length in prayer. Just because he only spends 15 minutes, it's not about the time. It's about the content. You know, he sits there, he reads his Bible, and he prays and seeks the presence. And he says when he leaves the room, it's funny. Because if you've ever been in a conversation with a friend, sometimes when you leave, say you have breakfast or coffee in the morning, later in the day, without fail, you always have at least one or two thoughts about that person, thinking, I wonder if they're having a good day. I wonder if their day's going well. I hope they're doing, maybe I should text them. Well, it's the same thing with God. If we dedicate our first 15 or whatever that meeting place is for you, whenever you meet with him there, the rest of your day will be the best of your day. Because just like that friend, God's presence will continually be with you throughout the day. And you know, all throughout the Bible, I think we see this. We see the first. So I'm talking about the first 15, the meeting place. The first is all throughout the Bible. You see God talk about our tithes and our offerings, the first. For me, I have to make a commitment and say, okay, God, I want to be, you know, have stronger of your presence. Whatever there's, you know, if there's any hate inside my heart, take it out. But the first with the tithe, God, I'm 24. I have all these things that I want. I want to accomplish all these things. So I don't want to have a chance to mess with my tithe. Take the 10 before it even hits my bank account. call the church. Hey, accounting team, can you make sure this happens? Two, I want to start putting God first in my life. Those first 15, I want to do what my colleague does. I want to start making sure my whole day is blessed. Not just some of my days, but all of my days. Because God always says that it's never for less, it's always for more. And if you actually look in Psalms 46:11, I love what this says. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's always with us and always around us. But sometimes God's waiting for you and I to take the opportunity. So many times I find myself, and I've found myself doing this, and sometimes I still do it, is I pray to God like this. It's a prayer of fear or a prayer of want. God, help me. Lord, if it's your will, heal me. God, if you could, I mean, if you can, heal my hand, heal my bones, heal my stomach, heal my finances. Lord, if you can. But then through hearing the word and pastors David and Nicole, I started praying faith prayers. Instead of praying, God, can you? I started saying, God, you will. I started declaring, God, the finances are coming. God, the healing's coming. So maybe today, you're in the same situation. Sometimes you feel like maybe you're praying, but God's not listening. Well, I can tell you, he's listening. But sometimes God's waiting for us to do this. Take one step. Because I heard it said the other day by a friend. It said, sometimes the opportunity is just standing on the other side of the fence, but nobody's willing to put the effort in to get to it. You know, which reminds me and takes me to the story in Exodus of Moses. And it's in Exodus 33, 7 through 11. I think they'll put it on the screens. And if you want to follow along, go ahead. It says, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meetings, the meeting place. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went to the tent, all the people would rise up. Each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses. And when the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all of the people would rise up, worship, each at his own door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. It's amazing the presence and how much obedience and commitment Moses had had that God, it was like, it says it there, like he was having a face-to-face conversation. You know, I think that's with you and I. Sometimes we get lost in, well, Moses did it, and we're like those people watching from the outside, wondering, oh, I just wonder if I can get a peek. I hope my prayers are as strong as his. But that was under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, you and I can get that blessing. So when I ask you today, where's your meeting place? Because if Moses can do it, it says in the Bible, God's not a respecter of man. Well, to do for one, he'll do for another. God's wanting to do it for you, but all he's waiting for is us to seize the opportunity.
My God. Come on, somebody. Preach it. I love it. When you do meet with God at those meeting places, he's not going to condemn you, but sometimes he does kind of convict you. It happened to me yesterday. My meeting place is just various places because I'm a creative, so I like it different. Let's bring the piano out. Let's do this. Let's light the candles. Let's do it, whatever. We just do all creative stuff. So yesterday I was riding my motorcycle and I was praying. Before I tell you the rest of the story, I want to read this verse, Mark 11:24. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, trust in, and be confident that it'll be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anybody, forgive them, let it drop, let it go, let it go, let it go. When you stand praying, forgive. I was praying, I was driving down the road, and I was kind of driving by the old church that my daddy built when I was 10 years old, and I was out there helping him build a church, and we were putting in this parking lot, right? And as soon as we started kind of putting rock down, and my dad's on a backhoe, and he's, all of a sudden this neighbor comes, and he goes, want to let you know, I don't want a church here. I've lived here for 5, 6, 7 years, and I'm going to make your life hell. And my dad's like, okay, well, nice to meet you too. Well, he did that. This guy continued to climb up the political ladder until he could just drive my dad crazy. And so church began to grow. We bought one house, another house, another house. We got right to the edge of his house. And my dad and I were working on that property. This guy comes over and he starts causing all kinds of trouble. And he's cussing my dad and he's yelling at my dad. And dad simply took his hands and pushed him back on his property. And he said, "That's all I needed, Reverend." And then the cops ran from behind his house and immediately arrested my dad. And they took my dad, a cop, Citizen of the Year Award, top secret crypto, military hero. He's being locked up, put in the car, taken to jail because this guy set him up, drove him crazy. My dad died 10 years ago. Shouldn't still be upset about this guy, and had no clue that I was. Till yesterday when I was driving on the road, and I was driving, and I saw him riding his bicycle, and I thought, "You dirty rascal. There you are. I ought to just take this motorcycle right now and ram it over the top of you." I'm like, "Oh, you ever been shocked at how unsaved you really are? Come on, raise your lying hand. I see you in Palm Beach. I see you in St. Louis. Let's try that again, you heathen." So immediately the devil jumps on the bike and says, "Ooh, you're bad. Look at you." And then the Holy Spirit said, "Let it go." I was like, "Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't even know I still had that against that guy." So then I started trying to think good thoughts. He's got his shirt off, so he looks pretty good with his shirt off, riding bike. He's taking care of himself. He's a nice guy. He stays committed to where he's at. And my brain's still like, "You're making this up. God's not buying it. You still hate this guy." Am I too real for you? I don't know. But through the power of prayer, it was revealed to me that I still got a long way to go, but God's with me. So when you are praying, like Austin was saying, when you have that daily meeting place like Moses, it's a meeting place with God, and God speaks to you. And it wasn't a condemning voice. It was a voice saying, "Hey, look, let's just keep working on this till you get rid of it." Now, am I telling you today that mysteriously God met me on that motorcycle and it changed my life and I forgave him totally? No, I'm pretty sure there's still a problem. But I'm still working on it. God still loves me. And I'm not going to stop just because I don't have it right. And I'm not going to go duck hunting with the man. This is off subject. Remember when they went hunting? Who was that? And Dick Cheney got shot in the face. Was that horrible? I mean, it was a hunting accident. I don't know. Accidents happen. But our flesh is there. It's out of control.
Oh,
your
man.
Turn. Go ahead. Clean that up. See what you can do with that. Try that. Maybe you can start by saying, "And what my dad means is..."
What he means is we're still praying for him right now. Lord bless him, God. Lord,
good.
Heal him.
That was a nice soft stone.
We declare blessing over him, God. Train his way he thinks.
I receive it.
No, actually, wow, that's awesome. I just love how real and how awesome he is. He just cracks me up. You know, but I am going to take it and I'm going to go into a joke. I like this joke. Morgan actually told me this joke the other day, and there was two brothers, and I have a little brother, so I know how this is. And two brothers around Christmas time, these two brothers are in, and he's like, "Hey, watch this. You want a bike? I want a bike. Let's see what happens. Lord, we come to you right now, God, and we just thank you for two brand new bikes, orange bikes with banana seat and streamers and big handlebars like Pastor David." I'm just kidding. It's not in the joke, but go with it. It's my joke. "And Lord, we thank you for a brand new iPhone, but no, Lord, give my brother an iPod Touch. He doesn't need an iPhone, God. He doesn't need to be as good as me." And the brother said, "Well, wait, I want an iPhone. I want a bike. I don't want you to have better things than me." He said, "Okay." He said, "By the way, God's not deaf. He can hear you. If just talk." He said, "I'm not praying to God. I'm praying to Grandma." And I think you and I do the same thing. You know, I love it because sometimes we think, one, God can't hear our prayers, but God can. But on the other side, I think we set ourselves up for disappointment because we put our willingness and our need in a person's hands. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying to grandma. So many times I've done it myself as I pray, thinking, God, hopefully my boss. God, hopefully my mom sees it that I don't need that I met or forgot to take out the trash this week. Sorry, Mom. Just a little humble brag. Forgive me. Brownie points, maybe? No? Okay. But whatever, God, sometimes we're relying on other people when really we need to rely on God. Because when we're with God, all things are possible. Not just some things, but all things. You know, one of my favorite verses, and this is my last verse, is Hebrews 11:6. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Sometimes you think, maybe you're asking yourself today, why do I need to pray? Okay, you're talking about prayer, but what's in it for me? Why? Because God will add those things unto you. He'll give you those things in your heart. So maybe you're needing right now, you're needing a financial breakthrough. You're needing a healing. Maybe you know somebody that, you know, maybe they're not in the best place and you're trying to get them to church. Find your meeting place. I tell you, that meeting place, it'll change your life. Come back in 2 weeks after staying consistent. And if it hasn't been different, then, you know, maybe I'm wrong. But I want to tell you, it'll change your life.
How many of y'all think that today you could kind of go and say, I want you to pray, and I want to pray with you, Pastor, and Pastor Austin, and just say, God, I want a meeting place with you. Raise your hand if that's it. And you know that you need to talk to God more. Don't feel bad about it. Let's just do something about it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone watching on television. God, I thank you that your word brings light, that it brings freedom. God, what a great word. Just a conversation between me and my son today about our life. And God, you want to talk to them just like you talk to us. There's nothing special about us. We talked about our weaknesses, our shortcomings, but God, you certainly love your people. And just like Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, you wanted to talk to them. And the enemy comes in and tries to distract us while God is trying to attract us. God, I thank you for direction and correction and blessing and all kinds of words from your word and from just their spirit. It's going to just well up like a big old bubbling brook. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Was that all right for today? I hope it was. God bless you. People connect.